listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 7, The Future of the Internet Church. And I am your host, DJ Chuang. And on this episode, we're going to chat about the future of the Internet Church. And the reason I'm calling this the Internet Church rather than Church Online or Online Church or even social media church, which might be a bit too self-serving. We're in the 21st century, and how the internet and social media and the digital technologies that we have available that connect us to the internet is changing the way we communicate, the way we relate, and potentially the shape and form of the church. And so that's what I want to explore, share with you some examples of things that are happening, some of the questions that people are asking, and some of the new technology that may be incorporated into new forms of church. And this is actually take number 3 of recording this episode. And it's not so much that I ran into technical glitches, but I was trying to make a monologue that would just be smooth all the way through rather than editing, and because I know editing takes way more time than just talking through it. And after creating some notes and trying to get my episode here framed up a little bit better, I'm saying to myself, well, this is a labor of love. I really believe this is an important topic to have some more robust conversations around, and I just need to talk through it. So let me preface a little bit of why I'm interested in this topic, where I'm coming from, so that you can better understand my perspective as I share it during the course of this episode. My undergrad is actually in computer engineering from Virginia Tech, graduated in 1988. And with that degree, that means I was working in hardware and software when it came to personal computers and microcomputers and mini computers. But that was all pre-internet. And since the internet has now become not only mainstream, it's become a part of our lifestyle, the world is totally different. Now, for me, having had that tech background does help me understand a bit more of the circuitry and the thinking that goes into designing technology, but I'm really obsolete when it comes to what it all takes to build the servers and the cloud and the internet and packets and all those other technical things that can happen. But I'm definitely an avid computer tech user. And the irony is I don't really have the latest gadgets or the newest and latest technologies. I use what I have accessible and available to me. And I'm constantly motivated to look at what's next. And so that's kind of my bias for innovation and technology, and even when it comes to church. And so in addition to my technology background and interest, I also went to seminary. So I went to Dallas Theological Seminary for 4.5 years in the early 90s, graduating in 1995. And that's when internet was more of a dial-up modem kind of thing, and became slowly over time became more and more of a internet 24/7 kind of thing. And in the early 90s, what the internet looked like was AOL, Prodigy, and CompuServe. And through dial-up modems, people could access parts of the internet, all very much text-driven, and images were just starting to get online. Fast forward to 2012. Now we have not only audio, we also have video, and we have interactive elements through social networking where more and more integration is happening across different channels so that people can share content, create content, and even do mashups. And so in this context, that has huge opportunities and possibilities for how the church can not only create content that's tightly produced but actually facilitate new kinds of content and new kinds of conversation that can all be part of the church. And that's kind of the trajectory that I would like to go to for this episode. But I did want to react and respond to a couple of articles that I recently came across. One article was by Phil Petty, "How Will Social Media Reshape the Way We Do Church?" And on his personal blog, he also wrote a similar article, "Will Mobile Social Media Change How We Do Church?" Phil is based in England, and he raises a good number of questions about the pros and cons and how social media now has geolocation and people are able to communicate very quickly and connect with each other. And potentially that means people can meet up and quote-unquote do church on the go rather than having to meet at a physical location every week at a certain time. That church can happen more often, and perhaps church can just be church on the margins. And so I think the article does raise a number of great questions. It does a balance of pros and cons, and then he mentions towards the end about his denomination having an initiative called Radical Disciples. And I wasn't able to find what his denomination is and what his this initiative called Radical Disciples is doing, but it certainly sounds very interesting, and it'd be good to check in again with him. And if Phil, if you happen to be listening to this podcast, I would love to hear more about what that initiative is exploring and trying to do to incorporate social media into church, or to allow social media to be the driver in how church is done. A second article that also caught my attention, and partly because I was involved in the forming of it, Ryan Kellermeyer, a community activist there in the Philadelphia area and also working or studying in seminary, he wrote this paper titled "Bottom-Up Theology in an Age of Networked Intelligence." And so this was for one of his classes at seminary, Biblical Theological Seminary, if I remember correctly. And we had a conversation over the phone for 48 minutes, according to my call log. And what he wanted to do in this paper was to explore the intersection of theology and technology. And as he was introducing some of his background and what he was trying to do with this paper, boy, I was just thinking, that is such a huge, huge, huge topic, theology and technology. I wasn't sure how he was going to pull all that together and try to make a study and a statement or an observation or put together an idea in the span of 15 pages. And I'm not sure how they measure lengths of paper anymore in school, because we're not so much bound on the printed page anymore, if that's single space or double space. I think it's a lot more useful to do word counts. Anyways, I'm taking a diversion there. When he posted, I encouraged him to post his paper online so that people could respond to it, myself included. And from my reading of it, he took a broad narrative, historically and biblically, looking at how God created man and how technology was introduced as things that humankind would create and develop in order to help them do the things they needed to do in taking care of creation and managing life. And so over the time of history, that included city building, that included eventually writing, papyruses, printing press, and more recently with digital technology and development, that he refers to Moore's Law and how rapidly technology and knowledge is multiplying. And towards the end of the article, he quotes a part of my conversation with him about the online church and how the on the internet there are now around 85 online churches, where churches, physical churches, are video streaming or video recording their worship service and adding some interactive elements in order to create an online worship experience that serves thousands of people. And for me, that was a number for me. And I've been tracking this part of my work at worship. I've been tracking this since 2007 as part of my work at Leadership Network, when I was on staff with them, and currently I'm still connected as a contractor. So back in 2007, I was able to find five churches that were doing this internet campus or online church. And then now, in 2012, there's around 85. These are just ones that I could find. There may well be more that are out there, but I can't find them. And here I am, someone who's looking for online church and not able to find them. It seems strange to me that churches that would want to invite people to worship would make themselves more findable. But that's just one of the strange things about online church, and even churches that have online, and even churches that have internet. And that's just one of the strange things about internet church, even the ones that have live stream, that it's rather challenging to find. Not sure what I can do about it, though. I've tried to build an index, made a Google Doc spreadsheet where people can add to the list, and a few people have once in a while, but most of it has been built by yours truly. Anyway, so most of these churches, from what I can tell, they're using a physical worship experience of a church that's traditionally established with a pastoral staff, meets in a building, and then they either record or live stream the video feed from that worship experience and put it online. So the broadcast modality is used for how online churches are being done currently by these internet campuses, and so the video of the worship service is kind of the big piece around which people engage, around which people can experience music and hear the Word of God. And then there's some chat that happens in the online chat room. There might be some interactive or responsive elements, whether it's prayer or raise a hand to say amen, or light a candle, or do online giving. There's a variety of things that can be added to this online worship experience. And then over the course of the week, there could be some kind of an online education piece or Bible study or prayer time. But it's still very connected to this video broadcast of the worship service. And that's a very common model for how the saints, the followers of Christ, have done church for centuries, particularly post-Reformation, where the sermon became the center of the church liturgy for the large portion of the Protestant church. And looking at the more formal or traditional or high church, high liturgy portion of the Christian church, whether that's Catholic or Orthodox or maybe Episcopal and Lutheran, where the sermon is less of the center and maybe just a small portion actually, and communion or the Lord's table is more of the center, then the worship experience is notably different. And perhaps video is not the best mode for how to engage that, although video is still a portion of it because it allows people to see and hear and experience that way over the internet. But I haven't found as many online churches that are being done in a high church setting. So when it comes to online church, the broadcast modality is still the dominant model for how church is being done. To incorporate technology in the social media then becomes a means to pass along announcements or pass along content that is shared rather than how social media is used in other ways where people can self-organize and people can collaborate and develop new kinds of content and do mashups and a plurality of voices can participate in producing something. And that's where Ryan ends his seminary paper, and it's a hint at what's possible and perhaps what's coming, where theology is not necessarily only done in the context of seminary and people who have devoted their time and vocation to develop theology in a thoughtful, reflective, historically researched kind of a way, but theology may also be developed by everyday people who use the tools of social media to raise their voice and to hear from each other, and through these conversations that can happen over social media, perhaps through collaborative tools like a wiki or a shared Google Doc or building some custom applications, maybe using online education and then people responding through comments and videos, that can also form new expressions of faith and theology that are more indigenous to how technology is incorporated into how we do things in the 21st century. So a great historical survey, but fleshing out what and how technology and social media and internet and mobile technology and tablet technologies and so on and so on, you know, that was beyond the scope of that paper. But I did want to point to a few examples that are happening and just bring them all in one place and invite you to dream together with me and to share some of the things that you're seeing when it comes to the future of the internet church. So in episode 6 of Social Media Church, I was able to chat with Seth Ferrier of Seacoast Church, and he mentioned that he had run a online church for about a year before he became the internet campus pastor there at Seacoast. And I poked around on the internet, try to find what he did there, and I did find a few old videos that hinted at what he was doing. Seth, if you're listening to this episode, would love to have you call in and leave a voicemail with what you learned about doing online church that way. So would love to hear more about that. And if you would like to hear more about that, certainly add a comment or tweet back so that it's not just me asking for it, but also you as listeners, so that Seth can chime in and we can all learn about that. And then previous to that, in episode 5, I was talking with Vince Marat of Gateway Church in Austin, Texas, and he was raising some really keen insights about the future of the internet. And he was raising some keen insights about the future of the internet church based on his readings from Clay Shirky and some of the conversations that he's a part of living in Austin, Texas, kind of the social media capital of the world, especially being the home of South by Southwest, an annual conference that brings together not only digital technology, but also music and film, very much the three elements that shape culture. While he's part of a traditionally established organized church with an online church expression, he's also asking some keen questions about, well, what is church really? And he mentions three essentials: that it's a relational experience, a spiritual experience, and a content consumption portion of this gathering. And so what would a more social media, internet, indigenous expression of that look like? And I'm not sure how that will play out for him and for Gateway Church, But assuming that those are the three ingredients, that could play out in all kinds of different ways. And one of the couple of different ways I'm going to point to as examples that are happening right now can help us to see if these will be models that will continue to multiply and perpetuate, or is there something beyond that? So Gateway Church, they're in Austin, as well as Northland Church in Orlando, and Life Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and Granger Church is starting to also develop some things in that direction. They do something called a network church, where the mother church, if you will, produces the sermon and teaching content that a network of churches around the country and around the world may use as a part of their missional community or house church or even local church context, be used as a part of their locally organized expression of church. And so one of the best examples you should check out, and I'll have a link in the show note, is Northland Church's House Church Introduction, and then their series of a dozen videos introducing how to do church in a simplified manner, what they call Simple Church. And so at doingchurchsimply.com, you can actually see their pastor, Joel Hunter, introducing people for doing a simple church, and what are the key ingredients, and how do you lead that, and how do you form that, and how do you download or participate with Northland Church's content that comes on a weekly basis. And for Gateway Church Austin, they do that in a similar fashion, where the Sunday sermon Bible teaching is distributed through the internet, and then house church gatherings, small group gatherings, Bible study gatherings, church on a small scale, are able to incorporate that as a part of their worship and as a part of their discipleship and how they do church. And so that's a fantastic model that leverages the organizational church to serve the organic church. But another example I want to bring to your attention is something called the Global Media Outreach, which apparently, from what I can tell, has spun out from Campus Crusade for Christ, which is a discipleship evangelism ministry that was mostly college-based and now has developed all kinds of other ministry initiatives since its founding by a guy named Bill Bright. And GMO, which stands for Global Media Outreach, which launched about 7 years ago to provide internet evangelism, discipleship, and community in a variety of ways. I'm going to share with you an excerpt from one of the videos that they've posted on YouTube introducing GMO and what they do.
The world is full of people searching for spiritual meaning in their lives. And in this remarkable age of technology, the internet plays a key role in their search. Global Media Outreach is online, ready to help seekers around the world on their journey.
Imagine a line of people from all nations standing outside your front door waiting for you to explain the gospel message or help them grow in their faith. Would you open the door? How about 2 million a day?
Global Media Outreach has developed Always Ready, your church evangelism and discipleship program, to provide an easy way to empower your church members to connect with the seekers and share the gospel online. Are you looking for a better way to encourage your members to share the good news of Jesus? As an online missionary, they can share the gospel by simply responding to 1 to 2 emails a day or a week on their own schedule with their own computer.
I'm a layman, and I love the gospel, and I want to be engaged in what God is doing throughout the world, because so many of us who want to be involved aren't involved because nobody gave us a tool by which we could actually do the work of the gospel. And that's really what I love about Global Media Outreach, is because now I, as a layman, am working and advancing the gospel every single day. Every single day emails show up on my desk of people asking me questions about Jesus Christ, questions about God the Father, questions about the Holy Spirit, and they're coming to me and they're saying, help me, pray for me. Now, as a layman, I'm out of the pew and I'm in the action.
Over the course of 7 years, GMO has reached over 50 million people that have indicated decisions for Christ. And they've really done well at gathering Christian biblical content and providing them in a variety of websites, and then integrate all of them into some kind of a email correspondence system so that their online missionaries can correspond with people who indicate decision or indicate interest, and then walk them through Bible-based content as a means of discipleship. There's a lot going on there through GMO Ministry, and that's a very good thing, reaching huge numbers of people. Another website came across my radar from Francis Chan, and so he's part of developing something that's an online course for discipleship called Multiply Movement, and I'm not sure if that's a side project or if that's on hold or that's getting ready to launch, because some of the videos there are 8 months old. And in the introductory video, Francis Chan explains that they will be revising some of the videos and some of the content as they go. But it's a great concept that in a five-part course, a small group of people can learn the basics of the Bible and learn how to be the church, to be disciples themselves. And there's the written content that a small group can read and study together. And in the video portion, Francis Chan will guide the group leader to facilitate the group discussion and rely on the Holy Spirit and learn the scriptures together. And potentially this could be the seedbed of what they're calling a multiplying movement. So that will be interesting to see when and how that will launch and what kind of results and impact that will create. And then one more thing I'll mention. In the internet age, in the 21st century, anyone can raise their voice and produce content, post it online, and it is instantly and globally and permanently available. And as more of that surfaces among the people of God, not only the gifted Bible teachers, not only those who are trained through formal institution, but those who are self-taught, those who are learning through online courses and Bible-based content that is freely available online, we are on the pericope of seeing new forms of Bible teaching, Bible content, and new forms of church that are still being incubated. And that is a fascinating thing to see. I'm keeping my eyes open to it. And here at the Social Media Church Podcast, we want to provide a space where we can keep our finger on the pulse of that. When it comes, and so, you know, as we're in this liminal space between the organizational and the organic, I think the organic side of thing can really go far in the grassroots, human-driven, non-organizational-driven use of social media. The potential for things to flourish and new forms of church have yet to be played out. As we dream and as we imagine what another kind of church could look like, I'm inspired by the example of the Apostle Paul. Now, here was a bivocational, itinerant preacher who had such a pivotal part in the whole shaping of Christianity as we know it, and he didn't do it inside of an institution. He established local assemblies that had leadership, but for him, he himself, he was not a staff of an organization. That gives us a hint at other financial models for how someone can be a church leader that can have tremendous impact and social media and internet can be leveraged. Look at the example of YouTube, where dozens of channels have thousands and millions of views from a large fan base that's watching weekly videos from a few people. And we don't have an expression of that outside of sermon videos. You know, what would it look like if someone who was a good Bible teacher created a YouTube channel where people are gathering on a regular basis and experiencing faith and experiencing worship that wasn't just a video feed from a gathering of Christians doing worship in a traditional setting? So there's possibilities there that the internet really opens up just in terms of how people are experiencing life, experiencing content, and connecting with one another. So that's just one possibility that comes to my mind. You know, what comes to your mind? It's something that I was participating with a group of online ministry church leaders. We had a Google Plus Hangout session to discuss how Hangouts could be used as a part of online ministry. And here's the thing, there were six of us, all of us fairly comfortable with using technology, and five out of the six of us had problems logging in, myself included. So what I had done was I set up a Google Plus event as a Hangout, and when the time came for that event and Hangout to happen, I was trying to figure out, well, where do I start and how do I get in? You know, it wasn't obvious to me, and I'm looking all over the screen. Eventually, I started one, and I wasn't sure if it was the one that was connected to the event. And then along the way, we ran into different technical issues. So it wasn't a pleasant experience, but it was a first try for most of us. It was a good learning experience. And just to spell out the difference between Google Plus Hangout and Google Plus Hangout on Air, the Google Plus Hangout is a video chat that for people that have a Google Plus account, and you can get those for free, and you can start a Hangout and invite up to 9 other people, and you can have a video chat. 9 or 10 people have their little thumbnail videos at the bottom, and the person that's speaking gets featured at the top of the screen. And then they allow you to incorporate watching a YouTube video together. You can have a chat window along the side. You can incorporate some apps, or if you're really tech savvy, you could build some apps. You could even have a collaborative conversation around a Google Doc. So it's a great place to hang out, have a video chat, have a virtual meeting. Now, the difference between a Hangout and a Hangout on Air is that Hangout on Air is you can still have the up to 9 people in this video chat, and it is automatically live streamed onto a YouTube channel where hundreds of people could be watching the Hangout. They can add live comments on that YouTube page, and then it's automatically recorded. So as these up to 9 people are having a conversation, perhaps it's a panel discussion, perhaps it's a chat around a Bible study, that gets shared in real time with people who join the live stream. And it's automatically recorded, so as soon as the Hangout on Air session ends, it becomes a YouTube video that you can share the link, add a description for, and share very freely. So huge potential and opportunity there. Again, the tech glitches make it not an ideal situation, not quite ready for prime time. One of the ideas that Jason Morris shared on the call, I'll go ahead and pull soundbite from that so you can hear it direct from him about what Hangout on Air could do.
What if Google Hangout on Air were a collaborative effort? Like, let's just say that just kind of take your idea of what we normally think of as a church service and just like peel that off and say, biblically, let everyone come with a verse, come with a hymn, come with a prayer, come with a prophecy, whatever that looks like, right? And we, ahead of time, plan off in the Google Doc there who's going to do what, and everybody's kind of responsible for their little piece, kind of like in a more of a traditional church service. You have like the worship pastor that does his worship thing, and you have the teaching pastor that does his teaching thing, and you have like the campus pastor that does his announcement thing or whatever that looks like. You could, in theory, using this format, have a collaborative church service, each one kind of doing their own piece, but that they own. They're the ones that are doing it. And that could be, I think, maybe the next iteration of what church online might look like.
And I want to close this episode by going back to the scripture, because we're asking the question of what is church and what is the form of church, especially in this internet, social media age that we are a part of. And so the passage that we often go back to in the scriptures to understand what church is all about is Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And I think a lot of these things, or actually practically everything, can be accomplished through the use of technologies to connect people. So Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So can we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching using social media, using what's available with online content? Yes. Can we connect with each other in fellowship through social media? Yes. Can we pray together through sharing our prayer and through connecting in real-time video chat online? Yes. Can we see and be filled with awe at the wonders and signs performed by the apostles, by other Christians, by church leaders? Yes, we've got YouTube, we've got video, we've got audio. We can hear and see things that are happening. We can continue to meet together on a regular basis, on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis because of social media. We can meet in person, call together, meet up or tweet up. And as people see that, online and offline, the Lord can be adding people and saving people. That's exciting. That's the time that we are living in with the internet, with mobile technology, with social media. Well, those are my thoughts about the future of the internet church at this time. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us at socialmediachurch.net and drop me a line in the comments on Twitter, on Facebook, or call in on our hotline. And until next time, I am DJ Chuan, and we will stay connected online.